Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Have you ever been to Walt Disney World in Florida? I went many years ago with my husband because I'd never seen it as a child, and he had. Our very first ride was It's a Small World. And to this day, that song goes round and round in my head when people talk about culture. And it was playing in my head when I saw a recent post from manufacturing guy Kevin Snook about the positive impact diversity was having on factories in the UK. It is a small world after all. So this week on the Make It Right podcast, Kevin joins me to talk about what he saw in the UK and why it resonated so strongly with him at the time. So welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Janet.
So tell me, I mean, that video that you shot when you were in the UK, you were talking about the value of diversity in the workplace. What was it that you saw in those factories in the UK that prompted you to actually do that video?
Yeah, well, I was quite taken aback. You know, I've been out of the UK now for 23 years, working around the world, predominantly in Asia. And then when I go back and, you know, I see the UK, you know, I obviously have a lot of homecoming feelings. And, you know, but one of the things that struck me this time was that each factory that I went into was incredibly diverse. And I'm talking about factories with, you know, maybe 140 people, but 14 different nationalities making up those 140 people. And that brings all sorts of unique challenges with it. But what also struck me was the great opportunity we have to learn from so many different people, so many different cultures, so many different point of view. And it was quite compelling for me. And I felt as I was walking through, actually I was walking through London at the time, I felt like it was just a great point that I wanted to be able to make. The manufacturing environment is changing, not only in the UK, but around the world. And diversity is a major player in that.
So what age group did you see the most diversity in?
Well, it was across the board. There were people who were new hires, new starts, working on the factory floor. There were quite senior people in the executive team from a variety of different countries as well. So it wasn't only one particular age group that, you know, seems to have been coming into the UK. It really was right across the board and right across different income levels, right across different societal levels. And they were all being integrated into this company.
So when you looked at that, like the diversity was reflected right across the organization then?
Yes, it was. And yeah. They were senior executive members that were from outside of the UK, as well as factory floor workers, and from a wide range of, you could say, capability levels, a wide range of or skill levels, and a wide range of communication capability levels as well. You know, there were people within the group that were struggling to speak English as well. And I think that's a very important factor, because it means that as these dynamics are changing in businesses, we have to change the way that we're leading those companies.
Mm-hmm. So based on your reaction to the diversity you saw in the UK, I'm guessing that this is not the norm that you're seeing across factories when you travel to other countries.
I don't think I'm seeing it to the same extent. And this might be part of the the influx of people from the EU into the UK, because out of those 14 different nationalities, the majority of them were from the EU. So that may be part of it. I don't see the same thing in Japan, Korea, Thailand, so Southeast Asia and Northeast Asia, and certainly not in China. I've worked with teams that have a large influx of expats that are there to start up the business. And so, you know, if you have a multinational company that already has a fairly diverse workforce and they're sending people to China to start up a factory, then you may have, you know, a variety of different leadership people that are from different countries, but not what I would say was almost like organic diversity, which I see as different.
I think it's interesting that you say that about the UK, and then you think about the Brexit situation, and you're like, it's a bit of a mismatch to me, but I guess that's the way it is. And I don't want to get into a political discussion with you either. So
yeah, and I don't know whether that's a mismatch or whether that they're cause and effect in some ways. I think there is a challenge with managing diversity, and there's a challenge with managing diversity, whether that's in a company or a town or a country. And so there may be a little bit of a backlash from diversity as well, and that might be part of what's going on with the Brexit situation. My feeling is that it's the backlash is missing out. What you want to be able to do is to see how do we embrace that diversity? How do we use the skills and the capabilities from all these different viewpoints and then integrate them into every part of our business. So not just the manufacturing floor to get new creative ideas, but the marketing department, the sales department, the executive leadership team. How do we use those strengths in every different part and then be able to grow the business based on the back of those strengths?
Right. Well, and I think it's depending on what culture you grew up in, or if you grow up in different cultures, people have a different way of looking at things, right? So when it comes to problem solving, if you have a diverse group of people around the table, you're probably going to find the solution that you need because everybody's coming at it from a different angle.
Absolutely. And I'll use one example. The operations leader of this company is a lady from Bulgaria, and she originally had no real formal education because she was in a difficult situation in Bulgaria, and in the end had to emigrate from that country, and has grown, learned by doing things in many different companies, many different cultures. And that's a huge amount of experience that can be positively integrated into the way that the company does things. If everybody is, let me say, for example, if everybody is a white male, college educated with the same kind of engineering degree, you're going to get very similar solutions. Whereas if you can integrate all of these different viewpoints in a way that values the individual for the skills that the individual brings to the table, I think you're going to come up with much, much better solutions.
Mm-hmm. I was reading an article on the positive impact that diversity has, and there were a bunch of bullet points, but one of them was, of course, improves cultural insights, the value of exposing individuals to experiences with multiple perspectives and worldviews. But the thing that I thought was fascinating was that it said, there's increased productivity, there's increased creativity, increased profits, improved employee engagement, reduced employee turnover, because when companies recruit from a diverse set of potential employees, they're more likely to hire the best of the best at that point. And then, of course, there's improved company reputation and just simply a wider range of skills. So diversity does bring a huge benefit, like a financial benefit, as well as just like a people benefit to the table.
I think there's the opportunity for it to do that. I think if you close down to it and try to lead the company in the way that you've always led the company, I think that's difficult to generate the benefits from that. For example, if you have many people that are not highly capable of speaking your native language, then you have to figure out better ways to communicate with that organization. In the recent times, the ability to do video, annotated video, very quick translations for everything. There are ways that the CEO or the senior leaders can communicate in many different languages to their team and help that team feel like they're a real team member. Just because their first language is Spanish and not English, it doesn't mean that you can't be communicating in their language. So there's easy ways to integrate people of different cultures as well. And, I'm talking a lot about diversity of country, of nationality. But, in the past, diversity was quite often considered men and women, mm-hmm. or blacks and whites. There was these colors and racial stereotypes that were put on top of diversity. I think it's becoming much more of a wide subject now. And we have to look at simple ways to communicate throughout the organization to get the key messages and make sure that the whole organization is aligned, whatever their sex and nationality and race and all the other things that are, you know, that are key there. Simplicity is a key leadership attribute. And so if we can find a way to simplify our message, that's good not only for the native speakers, but for everybody in the organization.
Mm-hmm. So if simplicity is one of the keys, what is the process? How do you get started down this path to diversity?
Well, I think if you're positively looking for diversity, then it's really a matter of being merit-based, opening up your recruitment systems to allow more people to walk in through the door and find out what is their attitude. I think in recruiting, attitude is as important as skill set. And what you want to do is you want to find people that have the right attitude that's going to drive your company forward. But all the way through the organization, depending on the size of the organization, all the way through the organization, you need to make sure that people are open and they're not carrying their own prejudices around with them. Now, I'm not an expert on, you know, diversity, so I don't feel like I'm in a position to say precisely what's the right way to change people's mindsets. But what I do see is the benefits of it. And when people can open up, you do get benefits from it. Let me give you an example. In one of my businesses here in Asia, I hired a transgender person as my personal assistant, and it was considered to be completely ridiculous. The amount of negative comments that I got for doing that, but she was the best person for the job. And when, you know, I had interviewed about 15 people, and she clearly stood out with the right skill sets, attitude, merits, everything. And I was strongly advised not to take that person on as my personal assistant, which means that there are still prejudices in businesses, and we have to make sure that those prejudices are, in a way, they're brought to the table. It's okay to have that discussion. That's just like any other discussion in business. We want to have that discussion openly, and then we want to be able to find a way to align the team as we walk out the door to a decision that aligns with the values and the principles of the company.
How do you nip that negativity right at the start? How do you bring everybody around and say, well, and how do you manage through the situation you were in? It's like, they're the best person for the job. We need this skill set. Like, I don't know. Like, how do you nip the negativity at the start?
Well, for me, it's all about coming back to your own personal values. And I think for every business leader, they need to look at their own personal values. Self-awareness is a massive part of that. What are my own personal values, and what's going to help this company move forward in the best way? One of the ones for me is we treat everybody as an individual. And so just as my comments around hiring my personal assistant were exactly the same as they would have been to an engineer on the production floor. That is, I need you in your position because of the skill set that you have, not because, you know, of who you are in terms of where you were lucky enough to be born or which university you went to or whatever. What is the skill set and the attitude that you bring to the job as an individual? That's what I'm looking for. And that's always been one of my values. And I think that plays well into the companies. If you can go back to your corporate values, your corporate direction, and then just make decisions in line with that. Once we use the values to make decisions, decision making becomes pretty easy.
Right. Well, provided you have good values, right?
Yes, and I think there's certain companies that are built on perhaps not the right values, and hopefully they're short-lived. And the ones that have enduring values are the ones that continue to progress.
Right. Do you think, do we need to make accommodations for this diversity? I mean, I've been working in Canada for years. This is the way work has been for years, you know, so you don't realize that there's some cultural things that are ingrained in the way we do things that might bother people of other cultures, right? So, And I bring that up because, I mean, when school, when we were going to school, we always sang God Save the Queen. Well, some people take offense to that sort of thing. So is it necessary to make accommodations?
Well, I think it's always necessary to make accommodations for the group. I don't mean that we shouldn't be talking about Christmas in England because people don't like the word Christ. You know, I think there are levels that you go to. And again, this goes back to the family values. You know, if there's certain people that are in, if we've got, you know, Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Christians and everybody working in the workforce, then why not celebrate all of them? Mm-hmm. Rather than are not allowed to be celebrating one, let's be celebrating all. And I think most workplaces don't have enough of a celebratory recognition culture anyway. What a great way to be able to build teamwork, build camaraderie, you know, educate people. The more we understand about different cultures and where they came from, the opportunity is there to learn from them and then to take the very best from them. So, you know, accommodation, yes, of course, we always have to be aware of different sensibilities. But in my mind, that's all about driving inclusiveness rather than divisiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, after all, it is a small world and we are all mixing up and people are moving all over the world all the time now. And we just need to learn to get along and appreciate what everybody else brings to the table.
Yeah, if you look at from a helicopter point of view, over the last 200,000 years, everybody's becoming more and more diverse, more and more mixed. It's the way that the world is going. There are some factors now that I think are trying to close that down, but the natural situation is that it's going to continue to become more diverse. What I'd like to see from manufacturing leaders is that we start to embrace that diversity more and use the benefits of it to help everybody.
Great. Well, Kevin, thank you very much. We're out of time. But keep your eye out on what you see out there and let's see where we see some more diversity.
Thank you.
Okay. That is our show for today. It is a small world after all. Walt Disney was right. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast. And until next time, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And you can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.